right, so are you ready to like really dig into some thought-provoking stuff today?
Always
Yeah.
my way.
So today, we're going to be looking at this book called The Cholesterol Myth.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this one.
Yeah.
A bit controversial,
A
right?
little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But we're not tackling the whole thing. We're just going to be looking at chapter three today.
Okay, smart.
Yeah. And just to give folks a little background, the book was written by this Dutch journalist named Dan de Wit.
Okay.
And it's important to point out that he's not like a doctor or medical professional or anything.
Right, yeah.
He's a journalist.
Okay.
So, for this book, he basically interviewed a bunch of experts.
Oh, so he's getting like different perspectives on this whole cholesterol thing.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. So we've got doctors in there, we've got cardiologists, professors, all sorts of people who are like, really in the weeds of this stuff.
That's a good approach, getting those different viewpoints.
Yeah. And the book itself actually has 17 chapters.
Okay.
So it's pretty in depth. But for our deep dive today, we're just going to be focusing on chapter three.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. And the title of this chapter is a little bit provocative.
All right, let's hear it.
It's called New Cholesterol Values: Healthy for the Patient or the Industry.
Ooh, okay, so right off the bat, we're getting into the conspiracy theories, huh?
Well, maybe not conspiracy theories, but it definitely makes you wonder, who's benefiting from these ever-changing cholesterol targets?
That's a good point. I mean, every time those numbers go down, it seems like more people are suddenly labeled as having high cholesterol.
Exactly. And that often leads to more medication, right?
Right, exactly.
So DeWitt starts off the chapter by explaining how these target values have been lowered like repeatedly over time.
Okay.
And the most recent change happened just a few years ago in 2019.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
And he specifically points to the Dutch Society of Cardiology,
Okay.
or NAVC for short,
All right.
as like really pushing for this super low target value of 1.8 millimol for LDL cholesterol.
So they're advocating for even stricter control of cholesterol levels.
Yeah, and that's where things start to get a little bit interesting.
All right, I'm intrigued.
DeWitt brings in this critical general practitioner named Hans van der Linde.
Okay.
And van der Linde makes this pretty bold claim. He suggests that, like, cardiologists might not actually be up to speed on the latest research when it comes to cholesterol.
So he's saying there's a potential knowledge gap with it in the medical community itself.
Yeah, potentially, right.
Interesting.
And then van der Linde doesn't stop there. He goes on to accuse some members of this guideline committee of having conflicts of interest.
Oh, this is where things start to get juicy.
Right. So DeWitt starts listing out like these committee members and their ties to, you guessed it, the pharmaceutical industry.
You know, it wouldn't be a medical deep dive without a little big pharma drama.
It's like a recurring theme, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, Arno Hoes,
Okay.
he's the chair of the committee.
Right.
He's also a division chairman at a company that does research for the pharmaceutical industry.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and then you've got cardiologist Anhu Liem, who's also doing this like lucrative research for these companies.
Oh, so it's not just one person. There are multiple connections here.
Right, and there's more.
Okay, lay it on me.
We've got this cardiologist, Fabrice Martens.
Right.
He's the chairman of the Working Group of Cardiology Centers Netherlands.
Okay.
And guess what?
What?
They partner with a bunch of pharmaceutical companies.
Shocker.
And DeWitt even highlights that Martens received payments from Amgen.
Now that name rings a bell.
Yeah, they make those PCSK9 inhibitors.
Oh, yeah, those are the newer, pricier cholesterol drugs, right?
Exactly. The ones that are like a really big deal in the pharmaceutical world right now.
Yeah, so seeing someone like Martin's connected to that industry definitely raises some eyebrows.
And the list goes on.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah. DeWitt mentions Yvette Heinstra.
Okay.
She's another committee member.
Right.
And she was involved in advising on the launch of new medication for something called familial hypercholesterolemia.
Okay, I'm gonna need a quick translation on that one.
Yeah, so basically it's a genetic condition
Okay.
that causes like really, really high cholesterol levels.
Oh, wow. So, like, way higher than normal.
Yeah, so someone involved in launching a new drug for that being on the committee is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it adds another layer to this whole thing.
And DeWitt even throws in this little quote about Professor Frank Visserin,
Who's that?
another committee member.
Okay.
He describes him as a natural talent in pharmaceutical marketing.
Ooh, that's a bit of a dig, isn't it?
It's a little shady.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we're not like accusing anyone of wrongdoing here.
That's right. We're just presenting the information that
Exactly.
DeWitt lays out in his book.
Yeah, but it definitely seems like there's a pretty cozy relationship
It's starting to look that way.
between the people setting the cholesterol targets and the folks who profit from those targets being lower and lower.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if these guidelines are really all about patient health.
That's the big question,
It
right?
is.
And here's the real kicker. DeWitt points out that the guideline committee themselves admitted there wasn't a ton of strict scientific evidence to back up these new lower targets.
Wait a minute, they're pushing for these stricter targets, but they acknowledge the science might not be rock solid.
Yeah, it seems a little odd, right?
It does seem strange, doesn't it?
And then just to throw in another curveball, DeWitt brings in this NVVC honorary member, Professor Paul Hugenholtz.
Okay, so now we're bringing in a respected figure within the cardiology world.
Exactly. And guess what? Hugenholtz is actually critical of this whole low cholesterol at all costs approach.
Oh, really? So he's going against the grain a little bit.
Yeah, he is.
Interesting.
DeWitt explains that Hugenholtz cites a review of nearly 70,000 people over 60.
Okay, large sample
Yeah,
size.
and guess what they found?
What?
60% of those people actually live longer
Okay.
and had fewer cardiovascular problems when their LDL cholesterol was higher.
Now that's fascinating.
Yeah.
It goes against everything we've been told about cholesterol.
And it's not just this one study either. DeWitt mentions a 2017 study that looked at data from almost 700,000 people.
Wow, even larger.
And they reached a similar conclusion. High LDL cholesterol linked to longer lifespans in people over 60.
Okay, so now we've got two large studies suggesting that maybe the conventional wisdom about cholesterol isn't the whole story.
Exactly. And get
Yeah.
this, the authors of that 2017 study suggested that the whole cholesterol theory might be based on intentionally misleading information.
Whoa, hold on. That's a serious accusation.
Yeah, it is.
What kind of misleading information are we talking about?
They pointed to stuff like excluding research that didn't fit the narrative, manipulating statistics, even leaving out patients who might skew the results.
That's really unsettling if true. It raises some serious questions about the integrity of research, especially when it comes to something as important as heart health.
It makes you wonder, how much of what we believe about cholesterol is based on solid science and how much is influenced by other factors.
Yeah, it really makes you think.
And then DeWitt takes it a step further and presents this idea that maybe cholesterol isn't the villain.
What?
What if it's actually a symptom of other health problems?
Okay, so instead of cholesterol being the cause, it could be a sign that something else is going on in the body.
Exactly.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
DeWitt points to things like stress clotting factors,
Right.
infections, even something called endothelial sensitivity as potential culprits.
Okay.
That could lead to heart problems, and then boom, your cholesterol levels go up.
So it's like cholesterol is the smoke alarm going off, but maybe we should be focusing on finding the fire, not just silencing the alarm.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
And you know who pops back up here?
Ooh.
Hans Wenderlin.
Oh, yeah. Our friend, the critical general practitioner.
He argues that cholesterol actually plays some important roles in the body.
Wait, hold on. You mean cholesterol isn't all bad?
Apparently not. Vanderlyn says it helps prevent infections, cancer, muscle pain, even those aches and pains that come with getting older.
So it's got some benefits too.
Yeah, it seems like it. It makes you wonder if lowering cholesterol too much could actually backfire.
Especially if it's playing a protective role in some of those other health issues.
Right.
That's a good point.
And DeWitt brings up some experts who are worried about the potential downsides of lowering cholesterol too aggressively.
Oh, okay, what kind of downsides?
Well, specifically, they talk about this molecule called Q10.
Oh yeah, Q10, isn't that important for energy production?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I even take a supplement for that.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And it turns out that Q10 levels can already be lower in older adults.
Oh, that makes sense.
But if you lower cholesterol too much, it could mess with Q10 production.
So it's not just about heart health, it could impact energy levels too.
Exactly. And they also bring up concerns about potential risks of depression, cognitive problems, and even diabetes being linked to low cholesterol.
Wow, so it's like a whole body system thing.
Right. It's not just about your heart, it's about your overall health.
This is getting pretty complex.
Yeah. And we're just getting started because DeWitt then shifts gears and starts exploring the reaction to these new guidelines.
Okay, so how are people responding to these stricter recommendations?
Well, it's not all positive. DeWitt shares how doctors and patients alike are raising concerns.
Makes sense, not everyone's going to be on board.
He quotes a doctor named Irina Shend,
Okay.
who straight up calls the new guidelines pseudoscience.
Wow, strong words.
Yeah. And then there's Patrick Albert, who's worried about the influence of, you guess it, Big Pharma.
Of course.
And even the Dutch Heart Patients Foundation is speaking out.
Oh, wow. So it's not just a few fringe voices. There's some real pushback happening.
Yeah, they're claiming this whole lower is better approach is more about making money for pharmaceutical companies than helping patients.
So they're questioning the motives behind the guidelines.
Exactly.
That's a bold move.
And DeWitt keeps digging. He found this article published in a medical journal called Medish Contact.
Okay.
It was written by two doctors, Dika Ligendijk and Esther de Haas. And they basically criticized the guidelines for not following the proper procedures.
Not following procedures, huh? What does that even mean?
So they're saying the guidelines didn't meet the standards of something called the GRADE methodology.
GRADE methodology.
Yeah, it's basically like the gold standard for developing guidelines.
Okay, so it's all about making sure the process is rigorous, transparent, and based on the best available evidence.
Right, and these doctors are claiming that the cholesterol guidelines didn't quite measure up.
Interesting, so we've got potential conflicts of interest, shaky scientific evidence, and now concerns about the process itself.
Yeah, it's starting to look like a bit of a mess.
It does a bit.
And these doctors found that the guidelines, which, by the way, are based on those from the European Society of Cardiology, weren't even based on a thorough and unbiased review of the scientific literature.
So they're saying the guidelines might be cherry-picking data to support their conclusions.
Pretty much, they point out that the committee only used 8 out of 40 studies from the 3 reviews they considered.
Out of 40, they only used 8.
Yeah, and guess which ones they chose?
The ones that fit their narrative, of course.
Yeah. They focused on the studies where cardiovascular disease was the primary outcome.
Oh, so they conveniently ignored all the studies where it was a secondary outcome.
Exactly.
That's misleading. It paints a very different picture if you only look at a select group of studies.
Right, and this is where things get really interesting for you, the listener.
Why is that?
Because this whole cholesterol debate could directly impact what your doctor tells you and what kind of treatment they recommend.
Yeah, that's true.
And based on what DeWitt's uncovering, it seems like there might be some serious flaws in the system.
This is definitely a case where it pays to be an informed patient. Do your research, ask questions, and don't be afraid to challenge the status quo, especially when it comes to your health.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay, so we left off talking about some like potentially shady practices when it comes to developing these cholesterol guidelines, but let's be real here. Money talks in the healthcare world, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So what does DeWitt have to say about the financial side of all this?
Well, remember those PTA?
Expensive ones?
Exactly. The ones that are like a really big deal for the pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
So DeWitt actually like does some number crunching.
Okay.
And he shares an estimate from Van der Linde that puts the annual revenue for those companies at around €500 million.
€500 million?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
And that's just based on the projected use of these drugs, if these lower cholesterol targets become like the standard.
Right, because then way more people would be eligible for those medications.
Exactly. And it's interesting because DeWitt points out that the then Minister of Health, Bruno Bruins, claimed he didn't expect a big cost increase.
Oh, really? So they're downplaying the financial impact.
It seems that way.
It's a classic move. Follow the money when there's that much profit involved. You got to be extra skeptical about the motives behind these recommendations.
For sure. And DeWitt also brings up some serious concerns about the long-term safety of these PCSK9 inhibitors.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. We don't really know what the long-term effects of these new drugs are.
Exactly. He points out that there just isn't enough research on their long-term effects.
Like, sure, they might lower your cholesterol in the short term, but what happens 10, 20 years down the line?
Right, and to really drive that point home, he brings up the example of Avandia.
Avandia, wasn't that a diabetes drug?
Yeah, it was supposed to be like this revolutionary treatment.
Right, I remember that.
But then years later, it turned out to be linked to all these serious health problems, even deaths.
It's a scary reminder that what seems like a miracle cure can have some really bad consequences.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder if we're jumping the gun with these new cholesterol-lowering drugs without fully understanding the risks.
It's a tough balancing act, weighing the potential benefits against the potential harms.
And DeWitt doesn't let up. He throws in this study from 2018 that challenges this whole lower is better idea.
Oh, so there's research that contradicts the prevailing dogma.
Yeah, this review was like super rigorous, even stricter than the standards used by the Cochrane Collaboration.
Cochrane Collaboration, those guys are like the gold standard when it comes to medical research.
Exactly. And get this, they found no correlation between lowering LDL cholesterol and reducing risks for patients.
So not only are there potential downsides to lowering cholesterol too much, but it might not even be preventing heart problems.
Right. And some researchers even suggested that lowering LDL cholesterol might actually increase certain risks.
Wow. Okay, so now we're really flipping the script on what we thought we knew about cholesterol.
DeWitt also questions whether these PCSK9 inhibitors are even beneficial for people with familial hypercholesterolemia.
Right. Those are the folks with the genetic condition that causes super high cholesterol.
Exactly. He cites a meta-analysis from 2018 that suggests these drugs might actually have mostly negative effects for that group.
So even for the people who supposedly need cholesterol lowering the most, these new drugs might not be the answer.
And then DeWitt dives into this study from 2019 that was published in The Lancet.
The Lancet, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, this study basically argued that we need to start lowering cholesterol in young people, like recommending routine checks from age 20.
Age 20, that seems young to be focusing on cholesterol.
Well, they looked at data from almost 400,000 people across 14 European countries and claimed that starting statins early could really reduce the risk of heart disease later in life.
So it's all about prevention, starting early.
But is there a risk in over-medicalizing young, healthy people?
That's a good question.
DeWitt brings up some researchers, Zoe Harcom and Malcolm Kendrick, who were critical of the study.
Okay, what were their concerns?
Well, they pointed out that the study relied heavily on assumptions and estimations, especially when it came to projecting health outcomes over like a 40-year period.
That's a long time to be making predictions.
Right. Kendrick also criticized the study for grouping triglycerides in with other non-HDL cholesterol.
Wait, they're all the same.
Yeah, he argued that it oversimplifies the relationship between different types of cholesterol and heart disease risk.
Which makes sense. Different types of cholesterol have different roles in the body.
And here's another thing Kendrick pointed out. The study didn't even look at total mortality.
Total mortality meaning like the overall impact on a person's lifespan.
Exactly. Which is a pretty important indicator of a drug's effectiveness.
For sure.
And then DeWitt throws in another study from 2015. This one was published in Circulation.
Oh, okay, what did this one say?
They looked at data from over 2,000 Americans between 18 and 30 and found that those who ate lots of fruits and veggies in their younger years had less atherosclerosis later in life.
Atherosclerosis, that's the buildup of plaque in the arteries, right?
Exactly.
So this suggests that diet early on can impact long-term heart health.
And it provides a different perspective than the Lancet study, which was all about starting statins early.
Right. Maybe we should be encouraging healthy habits instead of just medication.
And speaking of money, DeWitt circles back to the whole conflict of interest issue.
Yeah, we haven't forgotten about that.
He points out that pharmaceutical companies have a lot of financial ties with organizations like the American Heart Association, the Dutch Heart Foundation, the Belgian Heart Foundation.
So the very organizations that are supposed to be advocating for heart health are potentially influenced by the companies that profit from selling heart medications.
Right. DeWitt even quotes this Forbes article that refers to cholesterol guidelines as a gift to statin manufacturers Merck and Pfizer.
It's hard not to be cynical when you see those kinds of connections.
And then DeWitt goes all the way back to 2004, when the cholesterol guidelines in the U.S. were significantly lowered.
Okay.
And guess what he reveals?
Let me guess, it involves the pharmaceutical industry.
Of course, 8 out of the 9 committee members responsible for that change had ties to pharmaceutical companies, mainly statin manufacturers.
It's like every time we dig a little deeper, we find more evidence of potential conflicts of interest.
And this change in the guidelines led to a huge increase in statin prescriptions, even though some scientists were raising red flags.
Really? So there are concerns from the start.
Yeah, people like Marion Nestle and Dr. John Abramson argued that the guidelines weren't based on solid evidence and that they mainly benefited the pharmaceutical industry.
Did they do anything about it?
They actually drafted a petition urging health authorities to reject the guidelines and calling for an independent review of the evidence.
Sounds reasonable. What happened?
The government rejected it, and then in 2013, even newer guidelines came out that lowered the threshold for statins even more.
So their concerns were basically ignored.
Pretty much. And unfortunately, a lot of other countries look to the U.S. for guidance on medical practices. So this decision had a global impact.
So potentially flawed guidelines driven by money and lacking a solid scientific basis are being adopted worldwide.
A lot to process.
It is. It really makes you think about who you can trust when it comes to your health.
And how we can make informed decisions in a system that's so influenced by financial interests.
Right on.
So let's wrap up part two of our deep dive into chapter three of the cholesterol myth. Stay tuned for part three, where we'll talk about some of the implications of all this and what we can do to navigate this whole cholesterol and heart health thing. It's a lot to take in.
And it's kind of unsettling.
All this stuff about cholesterol and heart health and like all the different factors involved.
Yeah, and the potential influence of the pharmaceutical industry, it really makes you think.
So like, where do we go from here?
Well, I think the first thing is not to panic.
Right.
It's not about throwing out your medications or anything like that,
Right.
but it's about having a conversation with your doctor.
Like a real conversation.
Yeah, ask those tough questions. You know, really understand the evidence behind the recommendations.
Be an informed patient.
Exactly. Take an active role in your health care.
It's like we need to become informed consumers of healthcare, right?
I like that analogy.
Do our research weigh the risks and benefits, advocate for what's best for us.
Because ultimately, your health is your responsibility.
And nobody cares about it more than you do.
Exactly.
This whole deep dive into the cholesterol myth has really shown how important it is to question assumptions.
Yeah, even in medicine, things aren't always black and white.
Like, there are often different perspectives and interpretations of the
And
evidence.
sometimes financial incentives can muddy the waters.
So, what's the takeaway for our listeners?
Don't be afraid to question things.
Yeah, do your research.
Yeah, advocate for yourself.
And remember that you have the right to make informed decisions about your health.
Absolutely.
It's a bit of a wild world out there, but knowledge is power.
It really is.
So, to wrap things up, let's go back to that provocative chapter title.
New cholesterol values. Healthy for the patient or the industry?
After everything we've talked about, what do you think?
It's a question we all need to grapple with.
Yeah, and there's no easy answer.
But hopefully, this deep dive has given you some food for thought.
And encouraged you to keep learning and keep asking questions.
Because ultimately, it's about taking control of your health and making the best choices for you.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
We'll see you next time.